Of Easter Sunday is simply amazing. It is an amazing message. Jesus is alive. And that's why we often see at this time of year some people trying to cast doubt on it and say it can't really have happened. Because a dead man has come alive. And faith, our faith, is based on that today. And there's one phrase I want to hold this morning, above all else, and it's from the story you've heard, and it's in Luke's gospel. And it's what the angels said, and we saw it acted out this morning when the women came to the grave. He is not here. He is risen. He's not here. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. He did rise from the dead. And this is central to our faith if we're Christians. And if we don't believe this morning, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, our faith is futile. There is no point in believing and being a Christian if we don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that he rose from the grave. He is alive. And this is absolutely central. It's the thing that gives us hope and a purpose. Today, Jesus is alive. And there are many reasons to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I want to look at some of those reasons. If you're wondering, how can that happen? How can a dead man rise? I want to look at the evidence of Jesus' resurrection from the stories in the New Testament. First of all, Jesus died and the tomb was empty. Now, some people say Jesus didn't die, that maybe he came round again and escaped. It's impossible to believe that Jesus survived crucifixion. It was the most cruel way to kill someone in the ancient world. Blood and water came from his side, a sign that someone is dead. Jesus' body was wrapped in strips of linen. I have an experiment I want to do this morning just around that little piece of evidence. Now, can I have a volunteer, please? Somebody like to volunteer? You come, yeah. And I would like Ben to help me. So Ben, just would you like to come and help me as well, please? I would just like to turn, might take your coat off. Do you mind taking your coat off? Yeah, Christoph. Okay. Now, Ben, what I want you to do, not covering his head, but I want you to cover, wrap, sorry, what's your name again? I want you to wrap Joel up with toilet roll, okay? I want to smash you out with. And for a moment, Ben's just going to wrap Joel up in toilet roll, not his head. You might want to go lower again. Yeah, let's start wrapping up nice and tight. Tight and tight and tight, tight and tight. Wrap him up. Good. Well done, Ben. Bring it up again, maybe. I don't know. That's okay. That's good. That's good. He's doing a great job wrapping Joel up. Oh, okay. Okay, well, that might just do for now. We have now. Joel, just step forward a little bit if you can. Edge your way forward. Now, just before I do a demonstration, toilet paper is not that strong. It's sort of, you know, sort of comes away very easily. It's not very heavy. Joel, can you get out of the toilet? Can you break free? Do you think you can just sort of break free? Yeah, well done. Good man. Excellent. Thank you. Do you want to see if you can get it all off you? Well done. What a good man. Great stuff. Thank you. What a great help you were. Thank you, Ben. Now, I only partly covered Joel in toilet roll. Ben did, so I only partly covered him. And toilet roll is really quite easy to break out of. But even that, even if we'd done it fully, it would have still been a bit of an effort for him. Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus' body was wrapped in strips of linen, okay, material, which in itself is not easy to break. And they were soaked. In other words, they were put into a sort of a dip of spices. And when you'd put all the linen in the spices, they would have weighed 5.5 stone. So he was wrapped in linen that was the total weight of the linen itself soaked in the spices was 5.5 stone. Who would like to admit they're about 5.5 stone? I'm trying to think. Yeah. Thank you, Kelly. Perhaps, maybe 5.5 stone is, Kelly's not much heavier than 5.5 stone, I'm sure. But can you imagine being someone, you put a body is dead, And the body is wrapped up in linen cloth to the weight of 5.5 stone. Is a dead body going to break out of that? The body was laid in a secure tomb with a guard. And when Peter and John went to the tomb, they saw the grave clothes, which were like a chrysalis. Now, if you know anything about caterpillars, when they become, before they become a butterfly, they go to sleep and they're sort of cased around. And it was like that you, when you find a chrysalis, it's beautiful. It's sort of all one piece. And it was like an empty chrysalis. In other words, the body just came out and the clothes, the grave clothes, were left in the shape of the body of Jesus. It was as if Jesus had simply passed through the grave clothes. It would have been impossible for him to have escaped linen cloth, the weight of a young person. If you were young and fit, never mind having been beaten and then suffered the agony of crucifixion, it is very unlikely, it is impossible that that could have happened. Jesus died. He was wrapped up in linen cloth to the weight of 5.5 stone and laid in a tomb which was guarded by the Roman soldiers. And the Roman authorities, they could have ended the stories of Jesus' resurrection by producing the body, but they never did. And his body has never been produced. You see, very simply, we believe in the resurrection because Jesus died and the tomb was empty. Secondly, another reason for the resurrection, many people met and saw Jesus after his death. This is an account of Jesus reinstating Peter after his resurrection. Mary, the women, and many others saw Jesus after the accounts of his resurrection, including on one occasion, 500 people at one time. Jesus appeared to his disciples on 11 different occasions over a period of 6 weeks. They weren't imagining things because the disciples had meals with Jesus. He broke bread with them. He shared a meal with them. Thomas, the doubter, the one who didn't believe, touched his wounds and was so convinced, he said, "My Lord and my God." The third reason I want to give you for the resurrection, the followers of Jesus were totally changed, and the church, the people of God, grew unbelievably. I like this quote from John Stott, which is this: a great man of God who's now with Jesus in glory. "Perhaps the transformation of the disciples of Jesus is the greatest evidence of all for the resurrection." The Bible tells us that these men deserted Jesus as he was arrested. Peter denied him. He said, "I know nothing of this man." He cursed when they said he was associated to him. And yet, within weeks of Jesus' resurrection, Peter was preaching to 3,000 people, preaching to people everywhere about the risen Jesus. All of the disciples died a martyr's death. You see, very few people would die for something they know to be alive. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, why would the disciples have been transformed? If he was simply a dead man, why would they be changed? Very few people would die for something they know to be true, never mind something they know is alive. Their lives were transformed. Hundreds of millions of people down the ages have experienced and met the risen Jesus. They consist of people of every color, of every race, of every tribe, of every continent and age and nationality. They come from every different sort of background and all ages. Yet they have a common experience of Jesus in their lives. I want to tell you about a man called Wilson Carlyle. He used to come to this church. He used to, over 130 years ago, worship here at Holy Trinity. He was the man who became the founder of the church army. And one day he was at Hyde Park Corner, where everybody preaches. You may have seen the preachers at Hyde Park Corner in the open air. And he was saying in an open air sermon, "Jesus Christ is alive today." One of the hecklers shouted out to him, "How do you know he's alive today?" And Wilson Carlyle replied, "Because I was speaking to him for half an hour this morning." So many people from different backgrounds have met Jesus, and he has changed their lives. Millions of people have followed and experienced the risen Jesus and had their lives changed. Today, Christianity is still the world's largest faith by a long way. And here this morning, there are people who have met the risen Jesus. I would like my volunteers to come forward. So could Amy and George and my wonderful father-in-law, Martin, would you like to come up for a moment, please? And maybe Kate as well. Would you like to bring your dad up? Now, I've just asked four quite different people to tell you in a few sentences the difference that the risen Jesus, who is alive and with us as we worship, has made to their lives. Now, you can see that we have quite a wide representation of the human race here. You know, we have the young and the slightly older and somewhere in between, and a wonderful statesman at the end who has led the Church of Jesus Christ marvelously for years. So I'm going to start with Amy. Amy, tell me on this Easter Sunday the difference that knowing Jesus alive in you has made.
Well, it's made such a difference in my life to know that he is risen and he is our Lord. And I just can't believe how amazing it is to know that. And yeah.
In your everyday life, is there some way that you know you can sort of talk about that, how every day?
Yeah, I can talk about that in praying to God. I can talk about it by, well, almost thinking in my mind about it, because he'll know what I'm thinking. And
wonderful. So you really know him with you in your life. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. Thanks for the time. George. George is our youth minister. And George, tell us the difference knowing the risen Jesus makes to you.
I mean, everything. When we die and are resurrected with Christ, it feels less like I've changed, but that everything around me has changed. It feels like everything is more beautiful. Actually, in living in the resurrection, there's such joy. The world becomes a joyful place. The thing that, you know, used to look miserable, suddenly everything looks good. Everything looks good. Like you see Christ in everything, and there's just immeasurable joy in life. Actually,
thank you so much. Bless you.
I woke up in the night last night just hearing, it was like Jesus was there saying those words, "I am the resurrection and the life." And that it's not just that I know he's risen a long time ago, but that I know he's here. And he's the one who makes everything new, who brings life from death. What could be more wonderful?
Thank you.
Many years ago, as a teenager, I met with Jesus for the first time. And this morning, before we had breakfast over there, I encountered the risen, living Jesus. And for me, the heart of being a Christian is simply encountering and being with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. And it's so wonderful that he wants to be with people like you and me every day of our lives.
Thank you, Martin, so much. Bless you. There's a wonderful quote from another great servant of God's called Michael Green. He says this: "The church, starting from a handful of uneducated fishermen and tax gatherers, swept across the known world in the next 300 years after Jesus' resurrection. It is an amazing story that has no parallel in history. It came because Christians were able to say to others, Jesus did not only die for you, he is alive. You can meet him and discover for yourselves the reality we are talking about. Jesus has made such a difference. And there are many, many other stories in this building this morning of the difference that the risen Jesus has made. That is such an important evidence of the resurrection. But there's one other thing I want to say this morning before I finish. Jesus' resurrection gives us hope for the future. This is so important to finish here this morning. There is hope. I wonder, are you tempted to feel as you watch the news or you wrestle with family situations or maybe even just a sense of loneliness or despair at the moment? You might be tempted to think there's maybe not a lot of hope around. But the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he is alive, gives us hope today. Not I hope things will be all right, but a sense of confidence that God is in control, that he loves us, and he will call us to himself one day, and he will walk with us step by step by step, as we've heard from these lovely people this morning. There is hope because Jesus is alive, and we have nothing to fear. And he says in John's gospel, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. It is such a wonderful verse. Jesus says, if you believe in him, even though you die, you will live. Death has no hold over you. There is nothing to be afraid of today because Jesus is alive and death has been defeated. His resurrection confirms that. God opened the way for us to know him through Jesus' death on the cross. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul declares that the resurrection of Jesus points to what one day will happen to each of God's people. We will be raised to a new life with God on a new heaven and earth. We will be eternally free from the ravages of sin. There will be no more pain or suffering or death or oppression. We will be with God. We will see him face to face. We will be eternally free. That is God's purpose. It has always been his purpose for mankind, and it's his purpose for you today, for you to enter into that life, the confidence of that this morning. Even in the midst of struggle, in the midst of doubt and challenge, that we can know deep in our hearts that Jesus is alive and that he will never, ever leave us, that he will transform us. He will begin the moment we put our trust in him to give us hope that will never spoil or fade. There was a lovely quote at the end of the video we saw this morning, and it comes from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which you may have seen the films. And at the very end of the third of the trilogy, Sam Gamgee, Frodo's wonderful friend, says this as he discovers that he's still alive and that Gandalf is not dead. He says, he asks the question, will everything sad become untrue? Will everything sad become untrue? And we can say with confidence, because of the resurrection, because Jesus has risen, everything sad one day will become untrue in the presence of Jesus. And we can enter into the hope of that, the confidence of that, this morning, on this Easter day. We can put our trust in Jesus and deep in our heart know that one day we will see him. And one day that truth will be realized. You see, it's so important to believe, to know that Jesus is alive. that he is with us as we have worshipped this morning, that he gathers us together. And if you put your trust in him on this Easter day, you will meet him. You will know your sins are forgiven. You will know there's a hope and a future. You see, my faith in Jesus, and this is really important, is founded on the fact that Jesus is alive. That he died, he took my mess on himself, and that he is alive. And my future hope also depends on the fact that Jesus is alive. Without knowing that, my faith is futile. But I hope you can see this morning, Jesus is alive. That's why there's joy. That's why there's hope. That's why we come forward this morning with confidence, because the King of Kings has entered our world in love, has laid down his life for us. He finished the work of our salvation on the cross. And hallelujah, on Easter Sunday, he rose again. Let's pray.